And if you're just tuning in, we got Travis today. I'm excited about it. I don't get to work with Travis Rogers very often. He's the star of the Mid-Morning Spectacular. Plus, he's got Sliwa.
You know, I was thinking, Mace, I think this is only the third time. I've been at 710 for almost 7 years now.
Yep.
I think it's only the third show we've done together.
So far, so good, huh?
I don't know.
Good, it's first only hour.
We've only done an hour. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet.
Yeah, we'll I don't know if we're going to go. Are we going to do Ask Trav?
We can.
We can.
It is a
gigantic day. And it's not hyperbole, right? It's a gigantic day in the history of Los Angeles sports to have the convergence of the Major League Baseball trade deadline, which has come and gone. And we should point out that the Dodgers are three games behind the Giants. The Dodgers,
for now,
the Dodgers get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. The Giants get Chris Bryant. And the Padres get Daniel Hudson, a reliever.
Yeah, it doesn't seem quite equitable, does it?
No. They were reportedly so close to Max Scherzer. They must be so frustrated.
You know, that's a part of this, too, isn't it? Not only did the Dodgers get Scherzer and Turner, they not only kept him away from the Padres and the Giants, but they literally ripped him out of the Padres' hands.
Yeah,
that's got to be such a gut punch. And I'm not even talking for the fans. I'm talking about guys that are on the team. That's got to be brutal.
Yeah. All right. And, of course, the Lakers get Russ away. We have got a call coming in.
Okay.
Hello, you're on 710 ESPN. Who's this?
Hey, this is Shay from Encino.
Shay, O'Shea Jackson Jr. is here. What's going on, man?
What's going on, dude? By the way, was that a rotary phone?
That was.
We still have
a rotary phone in the studio because we haven't had an engineer in over two years in the building. So what's up, man?
I'm
How you feeling?
Ask. I'm feeling pretty good about life right about now. I don't know about you, but the city of Los Angeles, as a group, as a staff, a record label, and a crew, should be ashamed of themselves. For us to pull off Russell Westbrook and Scherzer, respect to Turner, on the same day is disgusting.
It is amazing, isn't it? I mean, it's not hyperbole. I said it's the biggest day. Since I've been here 30 years, it's the biggest day in Los Angeles sports history. Aside from winning the World Series, aside from winning NBA titles, but just outside of that, to have these things go on at the same time
these
is
two
insane.
Teams too, Mace. It's not just the two. It's the Dodgers and the Lakers. It's those two teams.
So what do you think of the Westbrook deal, Shay?
Oh, I love it. Russell Westbrook, just the not even going to just the energy that he's going to bring to the floor should have Laker fans drooling. The idea of what an Anthony Davis Russell Westbrook pick and roll is going to look like, and then you got LeBron cutting to the middle on that, and then vice versa, a LeBron AD pick and roll with Westbrook cutting, that it should make people salivate. Just the fact that we can rest LeBron a little bit and have somebody we can depend on to bring the ball up, find teammates, facilitate, and if you don't respect him, he'll drive and dunk it in your face. I can't be mad at that. I just can't.
Who initiates? Like the scenario that you just painted, Che, is a good one. But Russell is at his best with the ball in his hands. LeBron is in the best with the ball in his hands. So when they're both out there together, how does it work?
Well, I feel like it should be based on scenarios. You know, whoever we're matched up against. For instance, if you got LeBron playing at the four and you got LeBron bringing the ball up court, you're going to put the defense, somebody's going to be out of position trying to either pick up LeBron outside of their comfort zone, being a big, if they really want to switch a guard onto him or one of their smaller forwards to defend LeBron while he has the ball, then you got a mismatch somewhere on the floor. And when you got two players like him and Russell, they're going to find him. They're going to find him, and people are going to get opportunities. It's about us putting the right pieces around him to facilitate. And then when you got, whoever Russell Westbrook has as a defensive matchup, if it's somebody he can eat, just let that man eat. Just let that man take full control. Him, his ability to penetrate defenses is going to open up just new avenues that I don't even think LeBron has been able to play with. You know, everybody goes back to, of course, Kyrie and Dwayne Wade, but this is the first time LeBron's been with another MVP. This is unprecedented right now.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Travis is worried about the three-point shooting. And three-point shooting, it was an issue for this team last year. It was, frankly, an issue even during the championship year. They just got really hot during the postseason. But, you know, free agency opens officially on Monday. If I'm a veteran, if I'm a guy like, I don't know, just throw out a name, Wayne Ellington, I'm a free agent, I'm a really good shooter, I want to win a championship. I'm going to go to the Lakers, right?
Yeah, dude. J.J. Redick, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah.
Come on down. Come on down, man. You know you've always wanted to play with LeBron. LeBron finding you open for that jumper that's oh so pure. And then you got Russell Westbrook as well. I feel like J.J. is somebody, of course, defensively, you know, J.J. Redick. But he's going to be – that's somebody that I know can light it up. And that jumper has stayed the exact same year after year. That's somebody who I really want to see on the team. And, it's all about putting the right pieces around. And also, you know, the name of the game is score more points at the end of the day. And Milwaukee scored more points than Phoenix without a three ball. You know, it's just about us finding players who are ready to fit. We do need 3-and-D, but heavy on the D, heavy on the defense and athleticism, because we're going to be running. You know, respect to Marc Gasol, but, bruh, you better get some cardio in, because we're going to be a fast-break team. We don't have time for the BS. You know, we need people to get out there, run the floor, and, it should be some of the fastest-paced Laker basketball in a long time.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Mason and I were talking about this earlier, and if the Lakers replace the Kuzmas and Harrells and KCPs and those guys with guys that are roughly the same equivalent, if Dennis Schroeder signs and trades and a piece comes back that performs at about the same Dennis Schroeder level that we had a year ago, but you still have Russell Westbrook, are they still the team to beat, or do those other pieces need to be upgraded as well in addition to Russ coming to the team?
No, I feel like you should always look to upgrade where you can. You know, I am hurt by KCP being gone. You know, KCP defensively was amazing. When him and Caruso were on the floor at the same time, our defensive numbers were skyrocketing. Plus, he can also shoot the ball. And, you know, KCP on a fast break, his layup package is unreal. I also want to, you know, shout out Kuzma. My man Kuzma got kind of the short end of the stick. He was asked to change roles so many times.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning, he was a scorer that we wanted. Then he turned into the sixth man that we needed. And then it got to the point where we just wanted him to be a defensive rebounder. And I just feel like he never was able to get settled into a role before we asked him to do another. So, you know, I wish the best for Kuzma. I'm not one of these Laker fans that are feeling this ding-dong, the witch is dead mentality with Kuzma being gone.
Yeah, for some reason, Kuzma gets so much on Twitter. There are some anti-Kuzma folks in this town. You know what? He's going to go to Washington. He's going to score 18 points a game because it's not a good team, and he's going to be able to build some value for himself. Last thing for you here, Shea. Your slogan has been Lakers in five. Now that we add Russell Westbrook, are you going to change that to Lakers in four?
Let me just point out, ever since I started saying Lakers in five, all of a sudden it was Suns in four, and then all of a sudden Bucks in six. They are biting, imitating, and chanting. I'm staying with Lakers in five, gentlemen sweep. You saw what that Suns in four chant, you see how far that got them.
Oh, yeah, that's right,
so, you know,
that's
I'm
right.
Saying, Lakers in five for my man Kobe Bryant. Hold the five up every time you see me. Shout out to Max Scherzer. I don't know if you know this, Travis, but Mason has a baseball fantasy league that is super cutthroat.
I know it is.
Max Scherzer He's the first $50 player in the history of that league.
Yes, he is.
Who paid that? O'Shea Jackson Jr.
O'Shea did. That's right. That's right. Nice. Hey, Shea, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Lakers in five.
Every time you see me, Lakers in five. I'm so happy with Russell Westbrook. Can't wait to see him.
All right. Awesome, man. Hey, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Shea.
All right, man. Clippers suck.
I was waiting. I knew it was coming at some point.
Snuck that in. I like that. all right. So it is a monster day in sports as the Lakers have acquired Russell Westbrook, as the Dodgers have acquired both Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. And we're giving you a chance to react today. It is a celebration day in L.A. as the stars have converged in the city of Angels. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. And our friend Bill Plachke, Bill's going to join us at 2:30 today. Ramona Shelburne a little bit later on. Travis Rogers in for John, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, you know, a lot of people, because this is a big day in sports, are tuning in maybe for the first time or the first time in a while. Ireland's not here today. He'll be back next week. I'll just tell you for full disclosure, because he's a Lakers employee, he's not allowed to talk about the Westbrook trade until it actually goes down. So he'll be back next week. Travis Rogers is filling in. But if you're just here for the first time or first time in a while, we're on every day from 1 to 4. The station is kicking ass right now, so make sure you're here. Listen often and listen longer. We appreciate you. 877-710-ESPN. So, Travis, you know, you have brought up sort of the cons of Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a pro guy. You're a con guy.
With this one, I'm pro on other things, but sure.
Yeah, no, you're pro on stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody's pro on Scherzer.
Yes.
Everybody's pro on Trey Turner.
Yes.
But there's some division on Russell Westbrook. So mm-hmm. Bill Ryder from CBS reported this, and I think this is interesting. There was a strong level of disagreement with the Lakers organization about whether or not Russell Westbrook was ultimately the person that they needed to pursue with the picks and players who are now headed to Washington. Communicating with one Lakers source who was not excited about the Westbrook trade, he said in the end that the star power and belief by Rob Pelinka, the general manager in L.A., that Westbrook and his ability, his track record of excellence, is what the Lakers need. Even though it's an interesting pairing, Westbrook needs the ball in his hands. And we talked about this a little bit earlier. Russell Westbrook had last year had the second highest usage rate in the history of the NBA. And we know LeBron is a guy who needs the ball in his hands. So
to be LeBron, he needs the ball.
There's going to be a delicate negotiation between these guys that goes on all year long. Now, I think LeBron is capable of it. I think Russell Westbrook coming home to Los Angeles is a guy that is willing to make those sacrifices. He may not be Mr. Triple-Double with the Lakers because there are other guys that need to eat. But I do believe, especially the fact that they were all together at LeBron's house this past weekend, that they've talked about this and they've decided they're going to make whatever sacrifice is necessary.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that people can really, truly change? That they can be something and then be something distinctly different from that in a relatively short period of time?
Yes.
You do? Okay, then I can see your optimism. Because
Wait a minute. You don't think people can – you don't think guys go places, players go places, and accept different roles
that's not what's called for? That's not what I mean. What I mean is this, that the reason Russell Westbrook is an MVP, the reason Russell Westbrook has averaged a triple-double three times in the last 4 years, the reason that Russell Westbrook is the guy that John talks about playing with his hair on fire, human video game, all this stuff, is because Russell Westbrook plays basketball a certain way.
Right.
And the way that he plays has been just burned into his DNA. And while I believe that he's a really smart guy and he can say to LeBron and AD, hey, listen, I'm willing to do something a little bit different than I've done for a long time. When it comes time to go, at this stage in his career, having been in the league 10-plus years, it's easy to say it, and it's very hard to do it and to come back and say, okay, I'm not going to be – because his natural inclination is going to be, give me the ball, let me go to the hoop, let me do some work. And Lakers don't need that. What they need are the other things that we've talked about. LeBron's natural inclination is not to stand around and watch Russell Westbrook try to break people down off the dribble. What these guys are who – the reason they're great players is because they have – train themselves to be these things. Different role players can come in and assume different things. These guys aren't role players. These guys are alphas. These guys are number one guys that somebody's going to have to be willing to go into a number two. Not to say that they're willing to be do it, but actually do it. That's very different. LeBron is – how many different times have we heard about, well, LeBron can play without the ball. He can play off the ball.
Know,
and they'll
LeBron
try it for a few weeks,
Wade
and then it goes away.
And Wade and Bosch?
Yeah.
I mean, LeBron and Dwayne Wade were totally capable. Both guys needed the ball in their hands. They were able to make that work in Miami.
I hope so. I hope so.
Russell
Westbrook is not Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade seems to me a more pliable sort of player, a guy who can do different things differently. Russ is kind of a one-speed guy.
Let's go to this guy wants to convince you on Westbrook. Let's go to Jason in Downey. Jason, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Mace, do you smell that, Mace? For some reason, it smells like cake, brother. It smells like cake. And let me tell you, as of right now, Travis Rogers is getting a very little piece of this. But T-Raj, I'm here to try to tell you, make you feel better.
Okay.
So I know you're saying, you're wondering, oh, is LeBron going to be able to defer? Who brings the ball up? I have a feeling it's going to be Rusty because they don't make this trade without LeBron James saying, yeah, let's do it. Every single big trade, even the little pieces, has had his name on it. Even the first year when nothing went right, LeBron even said, yeah, I told Magic, I want dogs, I want ballers, and it blew up in his face. So since they met up together, they don't finalize. Like, Pelinka doesn't even go after it. If LeBron doesn't say, yeah, I can make it work, I can make it happen. Also got to remember, the last year before Kyrie asked for the trade, he even said on that one show, Road Tripping, he did everything in his power to make Kyrie the MVP of the league because he knew, like, Kyrie was going to be his star going forward. It just didn't work out that way. So now that even though people are saying,
like,
well, what about
spacing? Just brush past the it didn't work out that way. That's the whole point.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
That's the whole point.
I think he's making a good
point. That's on Kyrie, though.
LeBron
you even said
and
on the morning show, you said, Trav, if it smells like beef, it's probably you about Kyrie, and you were 100% right.
Yeah.
And I'm going to – my last point about this. Now that they have the big three, you're going to have veteran minimum free agents clamoring, waiting outside of Staples Center the way Mason stays outside of a dispensary. So it's a great move, and we're going to have some free agents that are now going to want to come because we have our big three. And
awesome.
As always, guys, Lakers in five. Have a
Lakers
beautiful day.
Lakers in five.
That's awesome.
And put a yes guy.
You know what I got out of that, Mace? That he listens to Travis and Slee. That's my favorite phone call.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I'm glad he does. Everybody should listen.
Absolutely. No.
I don't think the station has ever been better than it is right now.
I think
the Travis and Slee show, 9 to 11. Max is here. Mason in Ireland, 1 to 4. The SLK show, 4 to 7. That's a hell of a good lineup. Hell of a good lineup, and I always start my day with – well, I start my day with Keyshawn, and then I go to Travis and Slee.
No, you start, and then you just kind of run it through the rest of the day. I get it. But, look, the Kyrie thing is kind of a really good example. I know we're reaching different conclusions, but I think it's a good example. Kyrie's a certain type of player, and ultimately he decided he didn't want to continue to be LeBron's, you know, little brother or sidekick, or however you want to phrase it. He was – LeBron's okay with these things, and I like he said – I believe that LeBron believes that he's going to do these things. I believe that Russell Westbrook believes that he's going to try and do things maybe a little bit differently.
So you really think they won't exist together? They will not be able to coexist? They won't coexist.
I think that they'll try. I think it'll be stilted. I think it'll be disjointed. And then I think both of their natural inclination is going to be, I'm just going to go back to doing what I do best and let's see what happens there. And if Russell tries to be maximum Russ and LeBron tries to be maximum LeBron, that will not work.
No. And I think that will be a constant negotiation. But as you know,
but it can't be. That's the whole point, right, Mace? That there is no negotiation. LeBron doesn't negotiate. LeBron makes the decision, and that's what it's going to be. LeBron's not going to negotiate with Russell Westbrook.
No, I think they're going to negotiate. I think they absolutely will. I mean, I think LeBron will play off ball more. He's not going to play point guard. I think LeBron is going to be willing to play off ball more. He is going to adjust his role.
We've heard that before, and he always ends up with the ball in his hands.
And needs the ball in his hands. Yes. I agree with you. But, I mean, if those guys hadn't gotten together this weekend and this past weekend and said, you know what, I think we can make this work. And then LeBron calls Rob Pelinka and says, hey, I think the Westbrook thing is going to work. I think we've got it worked out. LeBron wants to win.
Yep.
And Westbrook is at a different point in his career because he, for the first time, has he had a chance since Oklahoma City to win a championship?
Not really, not in a meaningful way.
So he's a veteran in the league. He's got his MVPs. Everybody knows he can rack up a triple-double any way he wants. The one thing that completes his resume is a championship. And I'm guessing he'll do anything for that to happen. And I'll say this about Pelinka. I love this move. I love getting Westbrook. His job really starts now. The tough part of the easy part of the job, I think, is getting Westbrook.
Yeah.
The hard part of the job is finding the players that make sense around this big three. And that's why the next 3 days and into next week are going to be critical for the league. And every one of these moves, I think, will be analyzed and micro-analyze, and we'll figure out, hey, is it Danny Green? Is it Duncan Robinson? Is it Wayne Ellington? Who is it going to be? I argue that they will go out and find that three-point shooting.
If they do, then I feel a lot better about their chances going into the season. And look, even if they don't, they're going to be in the mix. They've got too many good players. But if we're talking about that very thinnest slice, the very thinnest slice of playoff basketball where a few possessions here or there make a decision, where this guy has it instead of that guy has it. And this team, the one that is right now with similar players coming back to the ones that just left, I don't love it. If you get the guys that you just named, or one or two of those guys, or throw in Redick or Hield or some of the other names that we're hearing, then I might feel a little bit differently. But as constructed right now, I like what you said, Mace. If this is the beginning, cool. This is a great start. But if this is the finished product or something very similar to this, I'm underwhelmed.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. As of right now, they got basically three guys under contract for next year.
How about Westbrook being their highest paid player? How about that? That's wild.
How about that? All right, coming up next for you, our friend Bill Plotsky is going to jump in here. I would say he's all in on Scherzer and wait and see on Westbrook. We'll get his take on it coming up next for you. Momo is going to join us coming up too. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What a day. What a
bad
day.
Not bad.
All comes together. And, you know, the Dodgers have added Max Scherzer, an all-star shortstop, probably plays second base or center field for the Dodgers, Trey Turner. And now they have another deadline addition, which is Corey Seager, who has been activated from the 60-day disabled and injured list today. Wow. So they add Seager. They will ultimately add Mookie in the next couple of days. They will add Kershaw in the next couple of weeks.
What if Cody Bellinger figures something out in between now and the time they don't have time for him to figure it out anymore, right? That's getting another MVP back, essentially, because he's certainly not playing with one. How about this, Mace? How about if I told you at the end of spring training, hey, guess what? By the end of July, the Dodgers will have this team, plus they're going to have Max Scherzer and Trey Turner as well.
Crazy. Just insane. And they did, by the way, on the other side. Now, so for all the guys that they've traded over the years at the deadline with, you know, Yu Darvish and Manny Machado and Josh Reddick and all those guys.
Rich Hill.
Only one guy has had an impact, and that's Frankie Montas, who's still pitching in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
These guys that we traded, someday we'll look over and we'll say, hey, Kiebert Ruiz, really good catcher. Josiah Gray, really good pitcher. We moved our two best prospects in this deal. But you always, I'll quote John Ireland, you always take proven over unproven.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, the Gavin Lux is a pretty good example of that. But this is the craziest part of all. The Dodgers did give away their two best prospects. Ruiz will catch in the major leagues for a very long time.
Yes.
Josiah Gray, if he's healthy, will pitch in the major leagues for a very long time. The Dodgers don't need those guys. That's the position that Will Smith is the best young catcher in baseball.
Yep.
He is clutch. He's experienced. He's all of these things. Max Scherzer, I don't even need to talk about his resume. We know what that is. They won't miss those guys.
We're getting a call right now from Bill Plotchke of the LA Times. Bill, welcome. How are you?
What's going on, fellas? You're going to be out at the stadium next week. Houston Astros on the mound for the Dodgers. Max Scherzer. Oh, boy.
Oh,
that's going to be incredible.
I'm taking a bunch of people from the station to that game on Tuesday night, the game with the Astros, where we are going to boo our asses.
Well, yeah. I think Bueller's going to pitch on Tuesday. I think Scherzer on Wednesday, I think.
Wow.
I think that's how it's going to shake down.
That is crazy. So, Bill, I read your column this week about how the Dodgers must get Scherzer. Did you expect
I told
Trey
them to
Turner?
Do it. In fact, I even told them to throw in Trey Turner. Although I thought for sure, as I said in my column this week, if they're going to get Trey Turner, they'd have to give up somebody like Cody Bellinger. I was stunned they got Turner and Scherzer for prospects.
Do you think, Bill, that people understand just how valuable Trey Turner is, that this isn't just a guy? Everybody knows Scherzer, MVP, Cy Young's, all that. Turner's one of those guys, unless you're kind of a baseball head that maybe flies under the radar, he's one of their best players, and it feels like he was a throw-in almost.
Yeah, he had a breakout year last year, led all baseball in hits, had like a 980 OPS. Dodger fans are going to love him. He's a perfect Dodger.
Yeah.
He's like Chris Taylor. He's like a Chris Taylor kind of Dodger. He's fast. Now, he doesn't play great defense, but he's gotten better defensively. But he'll be great at the top of the order, and he'll fill in. And most importantly, he allows them to say goodbye to Corey Seager when Seager asks for $300 million next year.
You know, Bill, you and me have been doing this a long time. We talked at Lindsay Theory's wedding. How long have you been writing for the Times? 35 years, and I've been here for 30 years doing radio. Has there ever been a day quite like today?
No, I've never seen as much talent come into this town with Westbrook and Scherzer and Turner as I've seen as in one day as ever. And you know what this is? This is a tribute. It's obviously nations and to their depth and to their vision and all that. Although I didn't really love the Westbrook thing, but it's still a big move. It's a tribute to the fans of L.A. because the fans won't accept anything less than this. The fans at Dodger Stadium, as recently as last week and I was out there, were booing the hell out of them.
Yep.
They're booing Jansen. They're booing the team. Laker fans, I was there at the last game, they're booing Anthony Davis on, you know, being injured. They're booing LeBron. The fans here or will not accept anything less than the best. And that's what forces these teams to make these moves. Andrew Friedman had to give up the future, had to do it in order to satisfy the fans and satisfy their mission. Rob Pelinka had to give up Kuzma, had to give up some, KCP, proven championship team players in order to try to improve the team, in order to satisfy the fans. I think it's a tribute to the L.A. fans who just will not – They'll jeer, they'll boo, they won't show up, they won't come to game. Look at Pauley Pavilion. It was empty until they got Mick Cronin.
Yep.
I mean, this forces the fans here. I love them to death because they have now got to the stage where they force these teams to do something.
Bill, go to Westbrook a second. You said at the beginning of that answer that, you don't love it. And neither do I, and I feel like I've been swimming against the tide here since the show started. But give me the reasons why you don't love it. I don't like it for a handful of them. What are yours?
Yeah, he's ball dominant in an offense where they already have a guy who needs the ball, and that's LeBron James. He's a terrible three-point shooter. And that's the one thing they need is three-point shooting. He'll shoot him out of games. He's going to have to make LeBron's going to have to play power forward now, and AD's going to have to play the five. He's going to have to make them rearrange. I just don't think they needed him. he'll play hard and he'll sell tickets, but the Lakers don't need to sell tickets. They're already sold out next year. He plays hard, and that's good. But I've seen him throw too many fits. I've seen him throw too many terrible shots. I've seen him run his team right out of so many games. There's a reason he's with his fourth team in 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, he couldn't play with Harden, couldn't play with Durant, couldn't play with Bradley Beal. Now, the only thing I would say that would make this trade work, and I'm sure you're saying, you guys are saying the same thing, is that if he's realizes this is his 14th year or whatever,
yep,
he needs to get a ring. And if yes, he wants a ring, and will he be like, I ripped the heck out of the Albert Pujols acquisition for the Dodgers because I thought he'd be a big crybaby and a distraction. I was wrong because
yeah,
Pujols clearly wants a ring. He's cleaned up his act. Will Westbrook clean up his act to get a ring? That's the question.
And LeBron has been in this situation before, whether it's with Kyrie or it's with Dwayne Wade, you know, guys playing with guys and sacrificing. And the fact that LeBron, AD, and Westbrook were at LeBron's house over the weekend tells me that those guys have had real conversations about how we're going to sacrifice and how we're going to be at our best. And LeBron, I'm going to play off ball more and all that stuff. The fact that they got together and had that conversation before, and I'm sure LeBron told Pelinka, that to me is a reassurance. The fact that they know it's going to be a challenge at times, right?
Well, yeah, I think they know, but will they do when it comes right down to it? Westbrook is so headstrong. He knew it when he went to play with James Harden. He knew it. He went to play with Bradley Beal. He knows what he has to do. He just doesn't do it. He just kind of loses his mind. So yes, I know, Steve, I know what you mean, and I think that's why they made the trade. I think probably, I'm guessing Rich Paul probably made this trade actually.
Couple of guys going out in this deal.
Yeah,
you know
and I think
saying?
That. I think, right. But I think he's the one that probably engineered it to try to make it work. And maybe it will work. But the history has said it won't. History has said it'll be. And some people have said it. And I should have put this in my column. Maybe you discussed it. It feels a little bit like Karl Malone and Gary Payton in 2004. Remember that?
Yes.
They came to the Lakers. Star-studded team. Oh, my God. Nobody's going to beat them. And the year was a mess. They lost to the Pistons in the finals. And they melted down.
Well, in fairness, you're pointing out that we got to the finals. And Karl Malone was hurt when we got there. And we don't know what it would have looked like if Karl Malone was healthy.
That's true. But it was a crazy year. And, yes, and just getting to the finals is not going to be good enough for this team, obviously. LeBron's got 2 years left. That's all
yes,
he's got. So they got to figure this out. So I'm still with Travis on this one. I just think there's more concerns. I'm just not thrilled.
Bill, let's say that the guys that left, the KCPs, the Harrells, and the Kuzma, and we'll see what happens with Dennis Schroeder, but are replaced with similar performances from different players. But you have Russell Westbrook. What's the result? Are they still one of those teams to beat just because you have AD and LeBron, which feels like they would have been last year, even with those other guys, certainly would have lasted a long time or longer than they had with those guys being hurt. But if it's just kind of the same team as last year plus Russell Westbrook, it's what?
That's a great question. I think they're a top four seed, and I think they're they're certainly a championship contender. But it just depends on how Westbrook – it all depends on how he does in April and May,
yes,
June. I mean, it depends on where he's at then. I don't think we know now. We see how we've got to ask that question in January or February. It's too hard to answer because he's too mercurial.
Yeah, and
he's not going to be great with the media. Of course, that's fine. Nobody cares about that.
Right.
But he's just going to be he's just a pain in the butt.
Yeah, to a degree, really, you know, we won't know it till we see it, right? We won't know it till we see
right,
it to see how these guys coexist. And I think, you know, the toughest part of Rob Pelinka's job was not the Westbrook trade. It's surrounding these three guys.
Right
Ron
now,
and Westbrook,
you're exactly
with,
right.
With the right shooters, with the right – the players that make sense. And the fact that veterans are going to say, you know what? I want to go play with those guys. I think they got something going on. I think players will flock to play for the Lakers for this coming season. And Bill,
you gotta get the right veterans.
The thing I love about Los Angeles, and the thing I love about Pelinka, the thing I love about Friedman, Les Snead in there. They are in go for it mode all the time.
All the time. Les Snead is another great example. They just go for it. These teams, they go for it because the fans demand it.
Yep.
You guys demand it. We demand it. The newspapers, the radio stations, TV stations, everybody in this town demands championships. And if they don't do it, they're out. So, yes, I love that about this town. Everybody says, oh, this town is so rich and it has such deep pockets. Of course, they always go for it. No, there's a lot of teams making a lot of money don't do what these teams do.
Absolutely.
A lot of teams,
no question,
doing really well. Yeah, now I give full credit to FD. This is a big victory for the LA fan. Big victory for the LA fan base.
All right. Hey, Bill, thanks a lot for coming on. We appreciate it. It's a great day. I'm glad we got you in.
You guys are great.
Thanks,
Bill. Talking to you, Travis. See you, man.
You too.
Thanks, Bill. There's Bill Plotsky of the LA Times. Yeah, he's 35 years he's been at the LA Times. We talked about that a little bit when we ran into it. Do you know that he actually performed the ceremony when our friend Lindsay Theory got married?
Is that real?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I had no idea.
He got ordained as a minister, and he was able to do the ceremony and did a beautiful job. But we talked about it a little bit. Travis, how long have you been doing that? You've been doing this forever, right? How long have you been
talk
doing
radio?
This? Yeah.
26 years.
26 years. And a lot of it here in Los Angeles. And there's something to be said for longevity, right?
Yep.
Being in this gig for a long time and having seen these teams in all sorts of states. I mean, I remember going through 6 years of disastrous Lakers basketball.
I did the pre and the post game show on most of those years. It was a drag.
Yeah, it was a drag. Now you get to you doing the Rams, Sliwa doing the Lakers. I mean, it's a really, really good time to be an LA sports fan today. And coming up next for you, we're going to take a break from this, and we'll go to Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff at us. She's back from vacation, and she's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us coming up next. And Ramona Shelburne will join us at 3 o'clock. Make sure you're here for that. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, you can follow her at Lindsay Baseball, one of the best follows there is in the world on Instagram. Linz, what do you got for us?
Oh, thanks, Mace. Thanks so much. You're too kind. All right, so Quinn Ewers, mm-hmm. who is ranked by many as the nation's top high school quarterback, says that he's strongly considering skipping his senior season so he can start raking in that NIL money immediately. Ewers had already made a verbal commitment to Ohio State, but the number one overall recruit says that he might just skip this senior season at Southlake Carroll High School in Texas, saying, if I enroll at Ohio State now, obviously I'd be able to make money off the NIL deals. And I feel like it'd be a big advantage of learning the playbook and getting comfortable with the campus and all my teammates. But if I stay and I don't get paid, I may be able to win a state title. If this were you,
yes.
Start with you, Mace. Would you forego your entire senior year of high school, including your senior season of football, to enroll early at Ohio State and make some NIL money? Swipe left or swipe right?
I would swipe left on this. You know, there's no reason why you can't make NIL money when you're at the high school level, right? Wouldn't the local car dealership be able to give you money to do the commercial for Johnson Ford or OC Mazda?
I don't know. I feel like there's a rule against that, isn't there?
I don't think there is, Linz. I don't think there's any rule against it. But I really valued my senior year of high school, and I know it's common now for quarterbacks in particular, like at USC, where they graduate in December and then go on campus to get ready for the next season. But no, I really liked my senior year of high school. I value my senior year of high school. And I also, you may be right. There may be a rule against name, image, likeness money for a high school kid, but I don't think there is. Like, if LeBron James came along today and he was still in high school, I think he'd have name, image, likeness deals.
Well, Trav? Look, I'm gonna swipe left on this one as well, but let me just put it to you this way. I was not the number one high school recruit in America the way that this kid is going to Ohio State, but I did have a senior season in athletics with a college season waiting for me on the other side. The last time you really have fun, just straight up have fun playing sports, is in high school. and it's awesome. And you're with your buddies, and you're with the people in the community, and it is so much fun, and you will never, ever replace that again, because once you go to that next level, it's still fun, but it's also business. It's also super bottom line, and it's going to be even more so with NIL money flowing all over the place, that once you go to Ohio State, yeah, it's fun, and yeah, you get to be a big man on campus and all that stuff, but it's going to be a really bottom line, either play well or you're not going to play at all. And the longer you can put that off, the more fun you can have doing this in high school, the better. I swipe left on that one. I hope that he plays high school football his senior year, because you will never, ever get an experience like that again.
Linz, what do you think?
Well, I thought about it, and at first I was like, yeah, I'd probably go to college early. But realizing that, like, his team has a chance to win a state championship, like, you may never get – I mean, you will never get that opportunity again, and you may not ever be able to win a championship ever again. So I think for all the reasons that you guys said, plus that, I would just stick around and try and win. Because imagine if you're his teammates in high school and he just bails on you. I'd be pretty ticked.
That's the point, yeah. Yeah, that's
so
a good point.
I think I would stick around for those guys. All right, next one here. After U.S. swimmer Ryan Murphy took silver in the Olympics 200-meter backstroke final on Friday, he finished behind Russian Evgeny Rylov. He voiced concern that the race was marred by doping. Quote, "It's a huge mental drain on me that I'm swimming in a race that's probably not clean. At the end of the day, I do believe there's doping in swimming. It is what it is." After his post-race interview created quite a stir, as you can imagine, Murphy clarified he's not accusing anyone of cheating, but we all know that Russia has been accused by anti-doping regulators of running one of the most sophisticated doping schemes in the history of international sports. Do you guys think the Olympics are truly free of doping in 2021? Travis, I'll start with you.
I will swipe left on that. No. There have been doping in the Olympics as long as there's been the Olympics. And just because they test for stuff doesn't mean there isn't stuff that isn't being tested for. We know that the bad guys are a million miles ahead of the cops. I think the Olympics are trying to be drug-free or dope-free or however you want to say it. I think that they do as good a job as you possibly can. But whether it's the swimmers or the track guys or any of this stuff where it's just speed, strength, and this, there's always going to be somebody that's on the edges. There's always going to be somebody that thinks they're not going to get caught. There's always going to be somebody that's willing to take the risk. So, no, I think that the Olympics are as clean as they can be, but they're not very clean.
Yeah, I'm going to swipe left, too. It is not clean. The cheaters are always way ahead of the testers. Now, what's interesting about the Olympics is that they keep a B sample for everybody that wins a medal. And when they discover a new type of doping, a new substance, they go back and test B samples to see if those athletes were on them when they won their Olympics. And there's a famous story, an Irish swimmer, I think her name was Michelle Smith. You can check me on the name, but there's an Irish, she had like 6 gold medals taken away from her because they later went back, tested her B sample, and figured out what she was on. So, of course, in the end, you still had the experience of winning those medals and standing on a medal stand and all that stuff. But, Linz, there's no question that there is cheating.
You know, I wonder if you were to go back like 50, 60 years, you know, let's go back to the early days before the testing wasn't this sophisticated, probably before they even started taking B samples. If you were able to go back, you know, in time somehow and see like how many of those people cheated, because it's kind of like baseball or like anything these days, you know, it's like go back in time and those people way back then cheated, but they're so strict about it now. It's almost like a completely different competition, you know?
It's more sophisticated, but they were doing it then too. I mean, back then it was a little more blunt force, but I don't know how far you'd have to go back for it to be straight up. It long before they were on TV. How about that?
Yeah,
now,
for sure.
If you want to see, and Lindsay, I'm sure you've seen the documentary about this, but the way the Russians cheated, where they would actually, they had a hole in the wall in the room where the samples were stored, and then they slipped clean samples into the room and took the bad samples. I mean, they're cheating.
Wait, I didn't see it. What's the movie?
I'll have to look it up for you. I'll have to look it up. It's fascinating. But the reality is that the Russians cheat. That is the reality. That's why there's
I haven't seen any evidence, Mace. I have no idea what you mean.
There is no. That's why it's the Russian. What do they call it? The Russian Olympic delegation.
Yes,
the ROC.
The Russian Olympic contingent, I believe it is.
Yeah, they just cheat. So yeah. But Linz, I'll find the name of that documentary. You would love it. It's right up your alley.
All right, sweet. I definitely have to check that out. I watched Icarus, which was the one about like the cycling.
Oh, Icarus is so good. Yeah.
Yeah. About and the that's cycling. A perfect example of how there's always somebody one step ahead of the testing. All right.
Yep.
Last one really quick here. So legendary wrestler Chris Jericho took a pizza cutter to the face last night during an episode of AEW Dynamite. As Jericho grimaced from the pizza cutter attack, the broadcast cut to a picture-in-picture commercial break. In a comical bit of timing, if that's what you want to call it, the first ad ran was for Domino's Pizza. So a lot of the wrestling fans were on Twitter laughing about it, thinking, you know, this is great, perfectly timed. But Domino's did not find the sequence very funny. They were unaware of the pizza cutter angle in the show, and apparently they're threatening to pull future advertising from the wrestling show. Is Domino's overreacting here? Swipe left or swipe right?
You just made the list!
You know, I swipe left. It's wrestling. I mean, you got to lighten up. Of course, there's going to be crazy stuff that goes down. It's unfortunate the ad ran after the incident, but I wouldn't pull my advertising at that point. I mean, I already signed up to sponsor wrestling.
Yeah, look, I'll swipe left, too. I don't think that your average wrestling customer is going to decide that, you know what, that pizza cutter is it right next to a Domino's commercial. I don't want Domino's pizza anymore. They're going to see the pizza. They're going to see the Domino's pizza cutter or the pizza cutter on Jericho's face or whatever it is and say, yeah, pizza sounds pretty good. You're going to have to do a lot worse to me to make me not want to eat a pizza.
Yeah, in a weird way, it might actually be better for Domino's. They
exactly.
go pizza cutter to
That's
Domino's ad. Yeah,
yeah.
I think it actually might be a plus.
You know, hey, the fact I'm talking about it right now, I mean, there you go.
If there wasn't a Domino's spot right next to it, if I just saw the pizza cutter, it might maybe get my phone out and go on my Domino's app and start firing some up. Who knows?
Exactly. Exactly.
Me too. In fact, I might want to get some right now.
So we're unanimous. Actually, we have swiped left on everything today.
Yep.
Impressive.
Swipe left on all of it. No
swipe
matches.
Left on everything. All right. Coming up next, I think we're going to get Ramona in here. Ramona was at the draft last night in New York, and she promised me she would come on today. So we'll get her in here. It is a big day of celebration. As Bill Plotchke said a little while ago, you know what? In L.A., it is go-for-it mode all the time. The Lakers get Russell Westbrook. The Dodgers get Max Scherzer and Trey Turner. Everybody is all in. And what do you think of these moves? 877-710-ESPN. I think, Travis, you and I are unanimous on the baseball moves. Those are just no-brainers, done
There's
deal.
There's absolutely no downside to it at all.
We have some disagreement on the Russell Westbrook trade. We will talk about that coming up. 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.